and Exchange Commission versus Mueller. Who do we have for the government?
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Dave Massey on behalf of the Securities Exchange Commission.
Thank you. And for the defendant?
Morning, Your Honor. This is Jay Hewlings on behalf of Robert Mueller.
Thank you.
And good morning, Your Honor. This is Ed Snyder on behalf of the co-defendants, Jeffrey Mueller and Belinda Breen, co-trustees of the MB Hale Ohana Trust.
Thank you. Anybody else on the line? No. Okay. So this is an action brought under the Securities Act. And back in, October of 2021, Mr. Mueller received from the U.S. Attorney's Office or the Department of Justice a target letter indicating that he may be under criminal investigation for the same matters arriving out of the civil case. Do we have any update of where we think the criminal matter is? Let me start with the SEC.
No, Your Honor, we don't, as you may or not know, we don't necessarily coordinate our investigations with the SEC, with the Department of Justice or the U.S. Attorney's Office. So Mr. Hewlings may have a better idea in terms of what his interactions have been, but no further update beyond that target letter from the SEC.
Mr. Hewlings, any update?
Yes, Your Honor. We've met with the two AUSAs handling it. It's Bill Lewis and Bill Harris. We've got the target letter. We know the case exists. I think we know that it started with the SEC complaint. In this case, that was the referral. They sent over the complaint. I don't have a ton of visibility into what else the U.S. Attorney's Office is doing. We haven't received any subpoenas. We're not aware of any. Certainly haven't done any search warrants, but they wouldn't have to in this case because a lot of the investigation's been already completed by the SEC. So I think we're at the point where we know it exists. We know they're taking it seriously enough to issue a target letter, but we don't have a lot of visibility into what else they've done.
Your client was invited to appear before a grand jury. Did your client do that?
No, Your Honor, we have not.
Let me ask the question in reverse then. Did your client decline to appear before the grand jury?
It hasn't come to that yet. They sent the target letter. We haven't followed up on hey, we're going to go to grand jury in X date. If your client wants to come testify, here's the time. It hasn't been, they have not followed up in that way. I think, to be candid, and based on my discussions with Mr. Lewis, I think there was a little bit of a sense of the government was going to wait, the government, as in the U.S. Attorney's Office, knew that there were some settlement negotiations going on between Mr. Mueller and the SEC and wanted to see what came of that. Obviously, they have not resolved the settlement. I think there are some legal issues that are keeping us apart, but we did negotiate in good faith, and I don't think we're quite done. I think there's room to go back to it, but I think they were aware, they're aware because we told them, and may have been waiting to see that, all right, is this going to play into something? But beyond that, that was a few months ago. I had that 2 months ago, maybe, or had that conversation. I haven't had an update since.
So pending is the motion to stay, and then the grounds for that is basically the tension between discovery going forward and exercising Fifth Amendment rights, if applicable. I'm wondering, is there any way we can continue discovery in this civil case without any kind of Fifth Amendment implications? Is there any other discovery we can be doing or other kind of motion practice that we can engage in apart from an actual deposition of Mr. Mueller? I'll start with the SEC.
Yes, Your Honor. As you might imagine, in a fair number of our cases, defendants take the Fifth in our cases, and in those cases, Defense counsel and defendants are able to raise a robust defense and engage in, you know, fulsome discovery. So we, you know, that's, you know, our view is that this motion is, you know, pretty entirely premature. Mueller is full to engage in the full range of discovery, as are we, prior to, you know, his taking a deposition. You know, written discovery experts run the gamut. So in our view, we should go ahead and proceed. We have a target letter, I think going on 5 months ago, and we filed this complaint in August and have yet to really engage in any discovery. So we'd like to move forward and go forward on a normal basis. So for that reason, we don't see there's any prejudice really at this stage to Mr. Mueller with proceeding with discovery of the normal course.
And so when you're talking about discovery, what are you talking about? Other than the deposition of Mr. Mueller, what other type of discovery do you think you need to start engaging in?
We will, certainly with requests for production of documents, there was an investigation, but there were still documents that had not be, that we feel had need to be produced from Mr. Mueller and other witnesses, other Rule 45 subpoenas that we would need to engage in, as well as the initial discovery in terms of interrogatories, and potentially request for admission, and then depositions of third-party witnesses, and then, you know, if needed, you know, potentially experts. So all those things would be things that we would like to proceed going forward with, Your Honor.
Mr. Hewling, so why can't all that go forward right now? And I deny the motion to stay, but limit discovery at this point to not taking your client's deposition until other avenues of discovery have taken place and we revisit a deposition of your client in 3 months. What's wrong with that idea?
Well, I think it would need to be supplemented a little bit because it wouldn't just be his deposition. Interrogatories or requests for admissions to Mr. Mueller could also implicate the Fifth Amendment. I don't think document production would necessarily be as problematic. Certainly third-party discovery wouldn't be as much of a problem. There is an issue with, you know, we filed an answer, and in our answer, we asserted the Fifth Amendment to most of the factual allegations. As it is right now, the SEC could take an adverse inference and produce some documents and then move for summary judgment. That would create, you know, that would create a situation where Mr. Mueller's Fifth Amendment rights would end up being used against him, essentially, and would put him in that Hobson's choice that we described in the briefing. A couple ways to work around that is a deadline to amend pleadings that is relatively late to give us the opportunity to consider whether or not to waive those rights and fight this case on the merits. But if the case is allowed to go forward all the way through, say, summary judgment, if it's not stayed, then then the existence of the criminal case is all but forcing us to concede the civil case, because we can't we'd have to change our answer and then therefore waive the right for the rest of the proceeding. That's the part of the problem. There are middle grounds. I mean, we can go forward with some limited discovery. The government can produce their initial disclosures. We could do third-party discovery. We can move forward with quite a bit of that. But it's the concern about, we have to be able right now with the answer the way it is. The answer is the way it is because of the existence of the criminal case. We're still put in the box where we have to either sacrifice the criminal case to dispute the civil allegations or sacrifice the civil case to maintain our rights in the criminal case. And that is, you could push that down the line a little bit where that kind of problem really comes to a head, but probably not that much. So I think there are middle grounds, Your Honor, but we have to be careful and judicious as to which ones we choose. I would also note that although this case is preliminary, you do have cases out there that grant stays in cases that are like this, and if anything, where there's less of an impact on a defendant's Fifth Amendment rights, the Ameritrust case in out of the Northern District, there was already a default judgment against the defendant in the SEC case, and they were doing some post-judgment discovery. And the criminal case was only a few months along. It was very preliminary. And I think it was Judge Fitzwater still stayed the civil discovery and saying that, well, even though there's really no impact on the Fifth Amendment rights because there's already a default judgment, there's still attorney's fees and the marginal impact on the rights. So I'm still going to stay this case. So it's still within the range of the court's discretion to stay this case, at least as to Mr. Mueller. I would also note that the bankruptcy case is proceeding. There was a 341 creditors meeting. Mr. Mueller testified, asserted the Fifth for the most part, the most substantive questions. But that proceeding is leading to auctions, efforts to liquidate the assets of the companies and raise enough money to pay back investors. The entity defendants did not answer and appear to be headed for a default. So the SEC can take their default against the entities, work out whatever they need to work out with the bankruptcy trustee, and the case against Mr. Mueller personally can be stayed without a lot of impact on the efforts to get recoveries for the investors. I mean, remember, the court's already frozen Mr. Mueller's assets. The money is not going anywhere. So all a stay would do is stay the case as to Mr. Mueller and allow everything else to go forward. That would be another way to slice this. In some ways, it might be cleaner than trying to figure out what part of discovery can be stayed and what can go forward.
2 points for you. One is you led me to believe in your earlier comments that there were legal issues that needed to be resolved. I'm not sure what you meant by that, but I was thinking that perhaps you thought that your client had some motions for summary judgment points he could raise. Was that your point or was it something else?
No, this is maybe previewing things a little bit, but I think the key disagreement in our discussions with the SEC about whether or not we could resolve this case is the application of the recent Supreme Court case in Liu, L-I-U, which discusses how disgorgement is to be calculated, how that would apply to this case. I think that's a major disagreement between the parties that I think at some point the court's going to be asked to resolve. We're not quite there yet, but I was explaining we've had discussions. I think we forecast to the court that we've had some settlement discussions. They did not reach a resolution in part because of disagreements as to how Liu, SEC versus Liu, applies to the facts of this case.
And the second point, you're not saying that the bankruptcy proceedings operate as a stay in this civil case, are you?
No, we have not. We've not attempted to stay the bankruptcy proceedings.
What I'm talking about is whether a bankruptcy.
Oh, no.
Because of this case being in bankruptcy, it stays my proceedings.
No, we're not saying that, Your Honor. There is an exception for SEC enforcement actions. So there's no stay because of the existence of the bankruptcy case. What I was saying is that there's still an avenue for the investors to recoup some of their funds through the bankruptcy case, which is part of what the SEC is supposed to be doing in getting a disgorgement remedy. It's all supposed to go to the same place. So the entities look like they're going to default. They're the ones with the assets. To the extent there are any assets, that process can go forward. Whatever can be gained by liquidating those assets can be distributed to the investors, and whatever funds that Mr. Mueller has are currently frozen. So there's not a lot of loss to the investors by staying the case against Mr. Mueller. Rest of it can go forward. We just, in a clean sort of way, say, all right, we're going to take the Mueller case and we're going to hold it for a little while until, frankly, we take our efforts to try and get a declination from the U.S. Attorney's Office. And it doesn't have to be indefinite. We can do this in 3 or 6 month time periods and just come back periodically for updates.
So, Mr. Snyder, you want to chime in here? I'm still leaning towards opening limited discovery, not allowing the deposition of Mr. Mueller, allowing depositions of third parties, allowing for requests for production, disallowing any requests for admissions being propounded, and only interrogatories as to factual issues that would not implicate the Fifth Amendment. Your thoughts on that, if any?
Your Honor, my thoughts are actually geared more towards the bankruptcy proceedings. My understanding from speaking with counsel with Mr. Hewlings is that Randy Pullman, and I noticed that Leslie Hyman, his partner, is here attending this hearing. Maybe she can speak to this. But my understanding, Your Honor, is that Randy Pullman has the intention of suing my clients, Jeffrey Mueller and Belinda Breen, the trustees of the trust, under the Tufta statute for fraudulent transfers, basically the same claim the SEC is bringing in this case. And so if this case, the SEC case, is allowed to go forward as to my clients, my clients will be subjected to potentially duplicative discovery, litigation, and just a multiplicity of lawsuits. And so for that reason, we believe that the SEC case should be stayed in order to allow the bankruptcy proceedings to continue, and any litigation that Mr. Pullman decides to bring can proceed in that court.
Oh, let's complicate this further. Yes.
May I just bring up a few points, Your Honor?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. As to Mr. Hewling's first point on terms of any prejudice that his client might serve, I think the law is clear that that is just not sufficient in order to grant a stay. Secondly, I think it sort of missed his argument sort of misstates the law as it relates to the application of inference in this case. You know, I think the law is pretty clear that the answer alone is not going to be sufficient to give an adverse inference. We would need to bring in independent corroborative evidence to get that inference, that which you or the ultimate fact finder would have the option to take. So, the notion that we would somehow, you know, based on the answer alone, file a motion for summary judgment next week or something to that effect is realistic. And secondly, I would.
It's not realistic, and I wouldn't grant it. So.
Yeah. we will work with Mr. Hewlings. I think we've had a good cooperative dialogue with in terms of the timing to amend the pleadings. So even on the answer itself, of course, he could amend his pleadings. And we have numerous cases, even after a defendant has taken a deposition, where prior to trial they indicate that they want to not invoke and go ahead and testify. We have arrangements to do that as well. So I don't think going forward with discovery prejudices Mr. Mueller near to the degree that Mr. Hewlings has described. And furthermore, I would note that the Amerifirst trading case that he mentioned is, you know, like you said, there had been a default, there had been a finding of liability already. And the court there was only staying the deposition of the defendant, not a blanket stay over the entire case. And moreover, in that case, the court weighed the interest that the SEC didn't even need the request of discovery in order to make determinations about disgorgement that a receiver were seeking in terms of a remedy phase of the case. We're in a much different phase of the case here, where we haven't even begun to do discovery onto the core issue of liability, Your Honor. Lastly, I would just note to Mr. Snyder's point, I mean, again, this is sort of the first I'm hearing of that concern, but I would say we could come up with ways to facilitate doing discovery in a way where we can give it to the trustee as well as to the parties in the bankruptcy case, to the extent we're providing any discovery to them in the same time frame, and we can do it with Mr. Hewling. So, and as Your Honor, I think, noted, there is certainly no, in fact, there's an express exemption in the law for staying our case due to the bankruptcy proceeding.
And if I may, Your Honor, Mr. Nassi and I don't disagree on what the law is. But we agree that just the answer alone is not sufficient. He would have to produce probably initial disclosures and enough documents to corroborate his claims, and then, or the SEC's claims, and then the court would have to decide whether or not to actually apply an adverse inference or allow the jury to. So there are a couple intermediate steps. As to the cases, Your Honor, I mean, the cases are all very fact specific. You can see from the briefing, we're both sort of picking apart different elements of different cases. I mentioned the briefing, the Tandem Management case, which is a Southern District of New York case. There was an SEC case filed, and then there was a criminal case that came after it, and the court just simply took the SEC case off its docket. Said, nope, that's not going forward. And it came back years later after there was a conviction in the criminal case. So at the same time, in a lot of other cases where there has not yet been an indictment, courts more often than not wait for the criminal case to get a little further along. There's lots of different factors you can pick at if we're going to get into which cases go which way. But I think the bottom line of all of them is this is well within the court's discretion, not only to stay the whole case pending the criminal case, but even to sort of do what the court is talking about here, allow some discovery to go forward, not allow discovery against Mr. Mueller, kind of give a long length of time for us to file an amended pleading. There's a lot of range here for the court to use its discretion. And one of the cases that was talked about in briefing from both sides is the Gonzalez case, which is Judge Martinez out in El Paso. And what Judge Martinez mentioned as one of the options the court had was protective orders to prevent any discovery in the civil case from being used in the criminal case. It's a bit extreme and tends not to happen a lot. And if you read that opinion, you get the sense that Judge Martinez was worried about an older case being stayed further. There's a section about the efficiency of moving the docket. That's not really a concern here. This case is only 6 months old. But you can think about this, all these cases together, and a way to keep Mr. Mueller's rights protected without significant adverse consequences, while allowing the bankruptcy case to go forward, which would allow some remedies for the investors. And you can do that with a stay. I think that's the cleanest way. A stay that gets revisited periodically, and then we can push the U.S. Attorney's Office to make a decision, which is hopefully a declination. Or if not that, some limited version of discovery so that parts of this case may proceed, and then we kind of kick the can down the road a couple months until we get closer to the point where all of the third party discovery has been exhausted and we're looking at deposition of Mr. Mueller and the ROGs and RFAs. So there's some ways to parse it while to protect Mr. Mueller and allow relief to the investors.
We have not.
Apologies, Your Honor.
I don't believe I received a scheduling proposal from you. Is that correct?
That's correct. The conference is due on Thursday. We were actually, Mr. Nassi and I spoke earlier today. We were going to ask the court for a little more time based on this hearing to work one out, maybe a week or 10 days.
Let me recognize Ms. Hyman to see if she has any thoughts on this. And also I want to put on the record, the Fifth Circuit Conference will be held sometime in May, I believe. And Ms. Hyman is the chairperson of the San Antonio Bar Association's Federal Courts Committee. And so I've extended an invitation to her to be my guest at the Fifth Circuit Conference. Given her role there, I do not believe it poses any conflict in this case, but I wanted to put it out there. Any objection from the SEC?
No objection, Your Honor.
Mr. Hewlings.
No, of course not, Your Honor. I'll be there as well.
Mr. Snyder.
No objection, Your Honor. Ms. Hyman and I are old friends. So,
Ms. Hyman, do you have any thoughts on discovery here?
Just so you know, so Your Honor, I'm actually in the process of drafting you an email that something has come up and I don't think I am going to be there.
That resolves that.
Something with my child's school, but we don't have to go into the details. Your Honor, Leslie Hyman on behalf of Patrick Lowe, the trustee in the Deep Root bankruptcy cases. It is very much our interest to move forward. Mr. Lowe has an obligation to marshal assets of the estate. We need to do that as quickly as we can. There are certain things that are causing the estate to incur costs in order to maintain the value of the assets of the estate. I don't think we have a particular position as to whether this case goes forward and how, as they are related, but as we already discussed in the briefing, the SEC is entitled to go forward notwithstanding the bankruptcy filing. Ideally, the U.S. Attorney's Office would figure out what they're doing, because we would like to speak to Mr. Mueller because he has information that would help us in fulfilling our obligations to the estate. But other than that, I don't believe that we have a position one way or the other as to a stay in this case, as long as it is limited, whatever that the court does is limited to this case and the parties in relation to this case and doesn't affect Mr. Lowe.
Yeah, at this point, that's the extent of my authority. So here's the ruling. The motion to stay is granted in part, denied in part. It's denied almost in full, though, with this exception. So discovery will continue to go forward in this case. The parties are to meet and confer and come up with these proposed scheduling order. Your proposed scheduling order should have a bifurcation discovery. So the deposition of Mr. Mueller, I'm trying to balance moving this case forward, balancing the interest of all the parties, the alleged victims, and then Mr. Mueller's Fifth Amendment rights. And so we're going to bifurcate any deposition of Mr. Mueller. That for now, a deposition of Mr. Mueller cannot go forward in this case until such time as the parties again approach me and we lift that stay. Any interrogatories and requests for admissions that are propounded to Mr. Mueller should be drafted such that they would not require the invocation of any Fifth Amendment issues. So there's bound to be, though, some interrogatories or requests for admissions, just asking for authenticity of a document, those kind of issues would be appropriate and would not require any Fifth Amendment invocation. So those kind of things were allowed. Any depositions of third parties, of course, are allowed. And so you all can go forward on that basis. With regard to dispositive motions, you probably ought to have a deadline on those. It's some time out, along with amendment of pleadings. If the SEC does decide to file a motion for summary judgment before we reach these issues regarding Mr. Mueller, I'm in all likelihood going to grant any request for continuances of a response for a motion for summary judgment. So that's sort of advance notice to the SEC. Don't bother filing at this point or anywhere close, because it's not going to be well received as I try to still balance any Fifth Amendment issues regarding Mr. Mueller. Any points of clarification we need to make with that ruling from the SEC?
No, I don't think so. Just one, I think, housekeeping measure was the timing of the initial status report. As Mr. Hewling's indicated, you know, a week to 10 days from now would be agreeable to the SEC.
You have 2 weeks from today. Anything by way of clarification, Mr. Hewling, anything you think I missed?
No, Your Honor. I think that's not right now, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Snyder?
None from us, Your Honor.
Ms. Hyman?
No, Your Honor.
Good enough. I'll wait to get that scheduling order, and I'm thinking in this case, we probably ought to think about having intermittent status conference just to see how we're doing and where we're at. So in your proposed scheduling order, why don't you coordinate with Ms. Fernandez and schedule something like in the 4-month mark that we can all visit and figure out where we're at. Good enough. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.